Hey guys, welcome to Digital Soup, a hilariously geeky podcast bringing you the best geeky conversations each and every week. Jason, let's get to it.
Welcome back to Digital Soup, the only podcast that released their first cookbook. It's entitled 101 Dishes Using Mauchline Eggs. And oh, they're delicious.
What is that?
You want to explain it to him, Adam?
Sure. Let me just Google Mauchline eggs.
Oh, come on. Okay. Has anybody watched The Orville?
No.
Okay. Well,
oh,
Adam
oh,
has.
Is that the...
why would we watch that
so far
show
out there?
Yes. Bordis, who is a Mauchline.
Yeah, I forgot his...
Yep. They are all male.
Bordis?
Bordis is his name. They are all male. And they couple up and they have eggs. Their children are hatched from eggs.
Hmm.
So, yes, the us three hosts at Digital Soup use those eggs for delectable dishes.
Hmm. Okay, then.
And you could feed like
I'll
a whole tribe.
I'll take your word for it. I have not.
Do you have another one, Jason?
I have not watched Orville.
Well, you know what? You need to start watching it. It's in its second season.
And I don't know what Bordis that board. I don't know what
Bordis.
Is.
He is basically that race, the Mauchline race.
Bordis
is like Klingons. Yeah, and he's
Bordis,
like
this thing you do when you don't have anything fun going on. Bordis.
Can you give me the country of origin, please?
It's Bordisantian. I'm Bordis, you know.
I like it.
The Mauchline homeworld.
Mauchline. Bordis right. And Mauchline.
Yes.
Attorneys at law.
Yeah. All right, everybody. My name's Jason.
All right.
And joining
everybody.
Me in the virtual studio today is Adam, and
yep.
Usually Dave.
Preemptive apology, everybody.
Why is this episode gonna suck?
Probably.
All right, well, what's up, geeks?
I tell you what's up, folding phones.
Whoa,
you fold your phone?
No, I want it. I tried, now I gotta get a new one. I stuck my iPhone in the bench vise out there and gave her a good
hey you and... sound a little Bordis.
No, isn't that soldering Jack?
Hey,
I miss soldering Jack. Is he still with us?
No, sadly he passed.
Oh man. Yeah.
Now it's Weldon McKee.
Weldon McKee?
You need anything welded?
Did you guys see the video of the Samsung folding phone?
I don't know, I see a link for a Sam Hung's $2,000 folding phone.
Oh, that's an old throwback. You have to listen to episode 100 on that one.
That yep, there is a throwback, you know.
This thing looks amazing, honestly.
So what is it?
Well, it's
explain it to us there, Adam.
It's a phone that folds like a book. But the screen looks, from the videos I saw, looks basically seamless. So you get double the screen real estate. I mean, it turns into a tablet.
Exactly. A 7-inch tablet. Who wouldn't like this? But here's the
thought.
My
wallet, that's who.
How many folds can you do before you start to snap that screen?
Well, we all know the maximum number of folds is 7.
Yes, but you cannot fold the screen 7 times.
I think if you tried to fold it twice... you'd be toast because it's made to fold one way.
Or another.
This thing always gives up at cards in Texas Hold'em. It's always folding. Sorry. I told
you.
You
got
a
hit on 16? Oh, wait, that's true.
Are you asking what is the actual life of this thing if, you know, through standard everyday use of opening and folding it?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, how long this sucker's going to last before it actually snaps.
For $2,000, probably. It better last a while, but this is the first, you know, real production one that we've seen. And honestly, though, it looks kind of cool to me. That
oh, it does. It is thick, though. As a phone, it is thick. Have you seen the thickness of this bad boy?
What is it, like iPhone 4?
Sir,
can you tell
thickness.
Us more about the Android?
Oh, wah.
The Android?
Yeah, what is
the
it?
Samhung?
It's the Samsung Galaxy Fold, right?
Yes, that's the full name of
it. Is this about as thick as like an iPhone 4?
It's thicker. I'm assuming it's thicker because it's basically, it's two phones put together, you know?
Well,
and then when we open it, you have a tablet, a 7-inch tablet.
Did you realize that this phone, who created this though, right?
Samsung?
Well, no, it wasn't actually Samsung that did this. Their branding is on it, but this tech and this phone was generated by phone insurance companies.
to sell you more phone insurance because you're going to want it when your phone's going to break constantly.
Oh.
I was so hoping you were going to say that this phone was created by Menin.
Well, Menin in a laboratory stanza. Somewhere, I'm sure.
Whoa, Dave must have banged his head.
Dave, yeah. your Minnesotan is coming out hardcore tonight.
Yeah, you know that happens sometimes.
He spent some time up north there.
I did up the North Shore, you know, stayed in a hotel made out of a train. It's pretty darn cool. But
what's your favorite food?
Oh,
Northern Minnesota.
Gotta be a hot dish, you know.
Mm.
Like a tater tot?
Tater tot hot dish. That's some good stuff, you know.
Yeah, I think the first model.
We're back to the phone.
You know, they're saying it looks kind of clunky, potentially fragile. This is the first run. I think it is. You know, it's going to get better and better. But conceptually, I mean, this is awesome.
Well, they're behind the game, though. I mean, iPhones have been folding for 2-3 generations now.
No, just bending.
Those are bending.
Oh, they took it all the way, I suppose.
See, the iPhones, they looked at the trend of curved screens, and they're like, we could do that.
Yeah. No, in all seriousness, though, if this thing is durable enough and holds up, as an iPhone user, would this be enough to convince you to switch to Samsung?
Not for $2,000, no.
Well, what's the cost of a brand new, if you were to upgrade to a new iPhone, XS or whatever it is?
I understand that, $1,500 for the top of the line.
Is that what it is?
Yes, but I would not do that either. Yeah, the XS Max.
So through your contract that's not a contract, you'd be paying about $30 a month for the Galaxy Fold compared to, say, $27.
I'm going
to
let the rich people buy this first and then let a few runs go through.
Yeah, I'll leave that one there.
Well, as somebody who is pretty awesome said in the description here, he put, if you have money burning a hole in your pocket and are not afraid of version 1.0 of folding phones, then you need to pick up Samsung's new Galaxy Fold.
Okay, we're overdoing the Samsung joke.
I love how it's in literally every bit of copy. I wouldn't be surprised if you're out on Wikipedia changing Wikipedia to Samsung right now.
For those that don't know, one of our early shows, I was reading a story about Samsung, and it came out, I accidentally said Samsung. I caught myself on that right away, but then it became kind of a running inside joke. Now you're all inside the joke.
Yes.
Macklin eggs aside.
Macklin.
Whatever.
Macklin. Mac and eggs? I mean, mac and cheese on some eggs,
you know,
maybe.
Bordas will never fall for you if you don't know his home planet.
That's too bad.
Who named these people Bordas?
He's like all mad. Well, there's a robot named Isaac. Is that better?
That is better. I like Isaac as a robot name.
Okay, my favorite comment on this story.
Yes, comment time.
Lol, $2,000 for an effing phone. What a stupid age we live in.
Is there something about being pregnant, I hope?
Yeah.
Let's see here.
I folded this phone in half so hard. I'm not gonna take it there.
Oh, you already did.
No. You don't know where I was taking it because I don't even know. Little mentally scrambled.
Yep. Oscar Wieners.
Okay.
Well, hold on. I was checking out some of these comments.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this is the best right here. Brondo. It's what phones crave.
That one has nothing to do with the story. So
yes. So what's going on with this dude named Oscar? I mean, but, talk about stupid names, right, Dave?
Oscar, what did
I don't know. Superheroes are having a good show at the awards, apparently.
Yeah.
Black Panther won 3 and Spider-Verse won an award. So
yeah.
The heroes are getting some love at these.
Does animations usually win awards at the Oscars?
Yep. They won for best animated film.
This is a dude that has never watched an Oscars award show, so I did not know that.
That's because you have a life.
Get this, exactly. So they were up against some pretty big competition because best animated features, so it's kind of like best picture for animated films.
Okay.
They're up against Incredibles 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
I enjoyed that.
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
I enjoyed that too.
Isle of Dogs and something called Mirai. I don't know what that is.
Pretty good.
I've heard.
The
I mean,
Isle
I
of
heard,
Dogs is weird. The way it's drawn or whatever.
That's Wes Anderson, right? I've heard. I think that's Wes. I can't remember.
Wes Craven.
No, not Wes Craven.
Oh, it'd be a totally different movie. If it was.
But I heard so much critical acclaim for Isle of Dogs early on. So seeing Spider-Man take the best animated feature is pretty awesome.
It's
I know
supposed to be very good. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Have you actually watched Spider-Verse yet?
No, I didn't get to see it when it was in theaters.
What? You see every movie for free.
I know. That's true. But I know, but it was time-wise, it was between that and Aquaman, and I chose to go to Aquaman.
Oh, yeah, I choose Aquaman over that.
So probably. I was hoping to see Spider-Verse that same weekend, but didn't get to it, so.
It's like Bohemian
Now, did Aquaman
Rhapsody.
Win anything?
No.
What?
He won
Not
our,
even
he
for
won
best tattooed shirtless guy that swims and talks to dolphins?
Nope,
that's got to be a category.
That one went to
Liam Neeson.
That one went to Mary Poppins Returns.
Yes. No, yes. Yeah, it was interesting. There was a lot of love for the heroes at the Oscars. I didn't really watch anything. I just kind of looked at the list afterwards. But I know a little bit of drama happened with Spike Lee and his Black Klansman movie losing Best Picture to whatever Green Book. Which that Green Book movie looks interesting. It's kind of a period piece where I think it's music based. Like this guy's an artist, a jazz artist, and Viggo Mortensen.
You can only watch it like 2 to 3 days out of the month.
No, but Viggo Mortensen plays like a driver.
Jeez, Jason.
He's like a driver, and I know Spike Lee was pretty upset, you know, because he lost the first time he had a picture up years ago. For Best Picture, he lost to Driving Miss Daisy, and now he lost to Green Book when he said
Another
it's basically the same movie, you know, and so he was a little upset, but I was just surprised under Best Actress. I was surprised to see Melissa McCarthy was nominated. I didn't even know she was
nominated.
For
which movie?
A movie called Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Oh, I haven't even seen that, or don't even know nothing about it.
I don't either, and the winner... The lady that won, this movie took home a few awards as well. It's called The Favorite. Did you guys hear what that is?
Mm-mm. No.
I haven't either.
It's not my favorite.
It won a decent amount of awards, but...
Well, okay.
I don't know. I'm not too big into the Oscars other than the fact from the geek aspect, it's pretty cool to see... You know,
that is, but the Oscars always seem like this. Oh, we're the elite. We'll decide which movies are the best.
Right. Which is and why like, they chose to make Suicide Squad an Oscar winner as well.
What did it win?
It was what was it like?
Did it actually win something?
It did. Yeah, I can't remember if it was like costume design. It did too. It was like costume design or soundtrack or sound design. Something. One of those kind of awards.
Oh, that movie sucked.
What
to me?
It wasn't that bad.
I enjoyed it. It wasn't perfect, but I
there's
thought
movies
fun.
Way
oh,
worse.
Makeup and
we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
makeup
that's and hairstyling. Okay. So. Okay, well, we'll accept that.
Yeah,
they did a great job. So, what about Infinity War? Did that win anything?
It nope. didn't, and this is kind of the shocking part because the
category. Awesome.
Well, no, the category I would have expected them to. Well, it was awesome. Yeah, the category though that I would have expected them to win would have been the
best original song.
Well, no. The
yep,
best...
when Thanos comes out, he's like, hello, my baby, hello, my honey, hello, my ragtime gal. I'm going to snap my fingers, and then you're half of you are going away.
Yeah. No, I thought it would have won in best visual effects is the category it was in. And here's what it was up against. Christopher Robin, which I watched that. That was actually very good.
My kids liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it with Ewan McGregor. Ready Player One.
Oh, you watched it with Ewan McGregor?
I did.
You guys buds?
Got some connections. Me and Obi-Wan.
Me and the Ewes.
Yeah.
Ready Player One, I did enjoy that movie.
Yep. And then Solo, A Star Wars Story. From visual effects, though.
Oh.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was good. Avengers Infinity War, of course. And then the winner was a movie called First Man. And I don't even know what First Man is.
It's the caveman animation. No,
that's the space flight story with Ryan Gosling.
Was
okay.
It?
Yep. So I guess.
Oh, no. I was thinking of Early Man. Never mind.
You're serious?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. The Ryan Gosling. But you know
it's
what?
About Neil Armstrong.
I mean, do we really need to give Hollywood? Do we really need to give Hollywood credit?
I just saw your name, Adam, so I had to do it.
Do we really need to give Hollywood credit for, you know, best visual effects on a, you know, moon landing for something they already did like how many years ago?
No, I mean, I'm just when kidding. They faked it, they had great special effects.
I kid. I couldn't help it. I had to throw that joke out there. But I don't know.
The movie Inception where they're like, we know the moon landings are fake. He's like, no, we actually went to the moon. Yeah. All right, my name is Matthew McConaughey. We went there. I'm an engineer.
I wonder though. I didn't see First Man. I'm just looking at some still images, and yeah, it looks good, but I just have a hard time looking at that and feeling like it was better than any of these, you know. Well, Christopher Robin, it was cool, but I don't know if I'd give that best visual effects. But between Avengers, Solo, and Ready Player One, I would have thought any one of those would have beat out First Man or Christopher Robin. So
I thought the Kessel Run in Solo was amazing looking.
Yeah. Yep.
Anywho.
How many parsecs?
I don't remember. There's a 57? Minimal amount of parsecs.
So, that's terrible.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Oscars. So, Reggie Fils-Aime. How are we pronouncing his name officially?
Reggie.
Fils-Aime, I believe.
The Reg Master. He's retired from Nintendo.
I can't believe it. A guy named
Bowser has taken over. He was the senior VP of sales and marketing, and he's stepping in to take over for beloved Reggie.
Yeah.
And actually, I think he had a picture like announcing it where he's got like Mario and Luigi tied up in the back.
He did, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it seems like they're kind of leaning into it. This guy, it sounds like this guy will do good. You know, he's got a good history and stuff, but they're really leaning in hard onto the Bowser idea taking over Nintendo here in the U.S. But
I really hope, the guy that's in charge of projects and development is named Wario. That'd be hilarious.
Wario is such a common name, you know.
It is. A Steven Wario.
It's not as common as Waluigi.
Yeah, Waluigi. Yeah.
Yeah, just shoehorning that into Luigi was stupid.
But as he's retiring and Bowser's taking over, according to digitaltrends.com, Nintendo's going to keep pushing forward as it takes advantage of its newfound success with the Switch, which Fils-Aime had the pleasure of launching after going through the company's struggles with the Nintendo Wii U. Mm-hmm. So hopefully good things. You know, this isn't like Apple and Steve Jobs or anything like that kind of level stuff.
No, because he's just kind of the U.S.
He's
branch,
the face
right?
of Nintendo, basically. Yeah,
right.
And from everything I've ever read, he's done a really great job.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, and Nintendo had some other news, too. I didn't get a chance to grab the link, but Jason, you had shared it with us. And this is all kind of speculation and rumor, but it looks like...
Speculation!
it looks like Microsoft and Nintendo are set to start teaming up, and a lot of talk that what's going to happen is that Microsoft is going to bring some version of their Game Pass,
Xbox Live over to the Switch,
which would let you have access via the Game Pass service in theory. To the Xbox Game Pass back catalog, everything from the original Xbox through Xbox One to a huge back catalog of games, including stuff like potentially Halo and, you know, all these other games that are in
there. Gears of War. Those are the two that have been prospective to be coming over is Halo and Gears of War, which is amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, it would be interesting. And I know that, you know, kind of everyone... I think there's a lot of, like, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about this, you know, because it's always been Nintendo versus Sega, Nintendo versus Sony, you know, all this stuff. There's always the console wars, so to speak. And what does it mean now?
It's like mixing Coke and Pepsi.
Right.
Well, see, and Microsoft's just out to make money. They don't care that they're going to be... Yeah, they care about money, man.
Then why is everything free?
It's free once you pay your $10 a month.
Yeah. When I subscribe to it, I'm not paying anything extra.
Yeah, I can play all of it for free once I subscribe.
What? Next thing you're going to tell me is that you can't just have Adobe products for free.
Well, you can take that up with Adobe. But
you can, but you have to go to the Pirate Bay.
I've got my subscriptions, folks. I'm kidding.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's... So that's pretty cool if those games do come on over to Nintendo, because who, you know, I wasn't big into Halo. I know Dave was. But Dave, what would you think about having a portable Halo? I mean, that would probably blow your freaking mind.
Well, I don't know about you, but my Halo comes with me everywhere. It's portable.
That's a very angelic statement.
Very perfect.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Whoa.
I'm kidding. I was channeling my inner Mean Girls movie or something.
Mean Girls.
No, hey, it would be pretty sweet, though. You know, and do you think it would hurt the Xbox console sales, though?
No, I don't think so at all. The only thing this is going to hurt is Sony. Seriously, it's the only thing that's going to hurt. Sony and their, all right, we'll do cross-play with Fortnite and Fortnite only, all right?
Maybe, but I don't...
Nintendo and Microsoft, they want to do all this cross-play with the PC, the Switch, and the Xbox.
Well, let me put it to you this way, though, or pose the question to you this way.
All right,
is it that Microsoft and Nintendo want to do all this crossplay, or is it that they feel like they have to even compete with Sony? Because let's be honest, Sony, up until the Switch came out, Sony was pretty dominant.
Well, Sony did dominate that generation. I mean, I would almost consider the Switch a generation past, because those two systems had been out for almost 5 years
right
by the time the Switch came out. So I would say that Sony did dominate that last generation.
Well, probably the last two, you'd have to think, possibly maybe more, because PS3 went up against, what, Xbox 360?
Dude, Wii U kicked all, man.
No, Wii U was a blip. But it was PS3 and, what, Xbox 360?
Yeah.
They were head-to-head, and I'd say Sony dominated that pretty well. Prior to that...
The 360 was pretty massive, though, but yeah, over the lifespan of the consoles, I would have to look at. Adam, you're really good. You have great Google Kung Fu. Check out that generation. Who sold more during the lifespan, PS3 or Xbox 360? Go.
And then while you're looking that up, let's look back one more generation. PS2. It was PS2 versus the original Xbox then, right?
Was that the GameCube at the same time?
Yeah, around that same time. So that one's a little closer.
Oh, man.
You know, and PS1 kind of competed with 64.
All right, slow down there, fellas. What consoles you want first?
3 and 360.
Yeah, PS3 and the Xbox 360.
Oh, boy. They're pretty neck and neck. 84 million on the Xbox 360 and north of 83.8 million on the PS3.
Dominant.
Whoa, Xbox One.
According to this thing.
What site are you
Didn't
on?
You say 84 Wikipedia. Million for the PS3 and 83?
No, for the Xbox 360.
Yep. Oh. I got
but
it
we're
backwards.
Talking, there's not a huge difference there.
No, there isn't. But yeah. Dave said... PS3 dominated is exact
no,
words.
No, I said I wouldn't be surprised if it dominated. I was thinking possibly they did better. Because well, I know the PS3, the big advantage it had was the Blu-ray and all of
well,
that.
PS4 has sold 94.2 million units. Xbox One, 39.1.
Yeah.
So PlayStation's crushing the Xbox.
Okay, do PS2 and Xbox original.
PS2 is over 155 million sold because that was released in 2000.
Wow.
Original Xbox sold 24 million.
Whoa. Holy moly.
So original Xbox really dominated.
Oh, what? No.
Dave.
Got dominated.
Are you listening to the words that are coming out of Adam's mouth?
I am so messed
PS2
up.
Had over 155 million.
Oh, units. Oh. I don't know why I thought you said 155.
Oh, so
mind.
Xbox original.
No. Okay. No,
didn't
you
Sega
know,
Master System beat NES too?
All right.
Let me look that one up. Master System sold 10 to 13 million units. And then what was the other one you were talking about?
NES.
61.9 million.
Oh, that's it?
Well, that's 50 million it. More than the Master System.
No, but I mean, it pales in comparison to the modern consoles, though.
1 well, million think Atari 5200 sold.
Now you want to see something funny? Take a look at how many Wii U, not the Wii, but the Wii U console sold.
13.56 million.
Oh, about the same as the Sega Master System.
Okay. PlayStation, 102 million. The
Whoa.
Wii, about the same, 101.63 million.
So what those numbers are showing us right now is PlayStation 1 and 2 dominated PlayStation 3 and 4. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, the PlayStation 2 is the best-selling console of all time to date.
Hmm.
Followed closely by PlayStation and the Wii.
Go PS4. Figure. It's the one PlayStation system, well, other than the PS4, that I had never owned.
You never owned a 2, Dave?
Nope. No, because remember, I got the Xbox. I got the Xbox.
I had them both, don't you remember? And a GameCube.
And I wasn't rich.
Exciting.
Dude, we worked at the same places. I didn't have the money you did.
I just spent. You guys had the same freaking hours, probably.
We, yeah, did.
We
did.
Rich guy over
we
here.
Literally would carpool to work every day. I mean, it was literally, we'd eat lunch at the same place every day together. So it just was what I was spending outside of work, which in those days, I'm not going to lie, I hunted a lot. So a lot of it went to like guns and stuff like that. But I also spent my fair share of time in the bars at that time. So blew a lot of money that way.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet you did.
Certainly wasn't Bordis in those days.
Heck no.
No way. No way.
Jeez, is that accent straight out of Madison County?
Madison, you know, that's a little south of here.
What a bridge you just concocted there to get that. So let's talk about it. I think it might be time for Super Reviews. Cue that music. All right, so in what I would describe as Jason's new favorite film.
Yeah.
We watched, at listener request for Super Reviews, Bridges of Madison County. I mean, we did it. And it was hilarious if you knew the back and forth that went on between the three of us as Jason did not want to continue watching.
I may have called him a whiny wimp.
Just to let the listeners know, I at 1 hour and 11 minutes, I did rage quit the movie. And then Dave is like, I'm so disappointed in you. We owe I did. This to our listeners, blah, blah, blah.
I pulled the disappointed line right out of my dad card book.
So this 1995 film, directed and starring Clint Eastwood and Meryl Streep, is all about how a photographer named Robert Kincaid decides to go look taking pictures of bridges in Madison County and encounters a Italian Meryl Streep, and then they have an affair.
They pretty sure much.
So this movie is all about adultery and freedom somehow.
And freedom.
Adultery and freedom, folks.
So, okay. So, hey, let me throw this in here real fast because Dave said one of my homework things was to come up with some movie synopsis or descriptions. Yeah. And I had written one for this one. Do you guys want to hear what it is?
Yes.
All right. Here is my movie description of The Bridges of Madison County. A lonely and horny city guy comes to a small town in Iowa to seduce a country housewife.
It's pretty good.
Yep. That's how I felt about that movie.
But here's the thing, though. He wasn't really a city guy.
Yeah, he was.
He was a National Geographic photographer.
He was a world traveler.
Yeah.
But he lived in New York and Chicago. Yep. He's a city guy.
But he didn't come there to seduce her. He literally was on an assignment for 4 days for Nat Geo, happened to meet this woman, and things went from there.
Can I point out something here? Because this, okay, when this movie starts out, and what we have is we have Michael and his wife, Betty, pulling up to the old farmstead of, you know, where their mother lived, and his sister's there, and I forget her name now.
Is it Carolyn or something like that?
Something like that.
Yep.
And the lawyer's there, and they're going to read the will. So as soon as they pull up, the acting starts right there. You know, they're like,
oh, does it though?
Yes, it isn't really acting. This is the thing I pointed out to these two guys in my messages, is that this is the absolute worst acting. This whole first scene with them talking, it's horrible. The dialogue is horrible and the acting is horrible. Yes, it did get a little bit better when it went to, you know, Meryl Streep and Clint Eastwood, but not that much better.
I have to say, Clint Eastwood's acting is always superb, and he's actually a likable person.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like he was the least at fault.
But do you guys agree with me about the acting in that first scene was horrendous?
It was bad. I'll be honest too. And my wife actually agreed. She's like, ugh.
Yeah, it didn't start off strong. I will say I loved the storytelling device in this movie. I thought was pretty clever. It's not unheard of. It's nothing crazy, unique, or inventive.
Not new.
No, but you got to remember, this is what,
1995.
So 25, almost 30 years ago now. The storytelling device where they set the whole thing up where it's, you know, the mother has passed away and they're, you know, finding all of this because she left them her diaries, essentially. She wrote this all down. And that transports us back. I thought that was a pretty clever device. And I thought as the movie went on, it started off very rocky with that, the children, you know, who were adults. Well, it wasn't great. I kind of liked how her story that they're watching, you know, the main part of this story actually had a major impact in a very positive way on those kids at the end.
Well, I think Dave extracted like the one good thing about it.
No, I've got more.
From my perspective, like it helped strengthen their relationships. Because be honest, the brother and sister seemed like they were about to get it on. Like,
yeah, they were very weird.
Very especially creepy. When they were drinking. A little uneasy here.
Well, that's just it. My wife commented too, like, are they about to kiss? I mean, this is...
I heard Barry White in the background.
They're sitting there reading their mom's erotic fan art. Fan fiction.
Fan art.
It's not fiction. Fan nonfiction?
Right.
Anyway, and then they're like, hey, I'm drinking. Let's get out of here.
Hey, but I want to point out one thing here, and I don't know if you guys notice this. Again, it happened in the first scene, but do you think Michael beats Betty?
I
don't know.
Do you think Michael beats Betty?
Oh, like what abuses her?
Okay, I have two
Betty is his wife?
Here. Yes. Betty is just, the whole first, scene with Michael and Betty is so uncomfortable because Betty makes this comment. She goes, this is right after they mention that she wants to have her ashes spread out at that bridge.
Yep.
She goes, and doggies will be doing their business all over her. And you look at the look he gives Betty, and he actually does raise his hand. And she turns her face.
Yeah,
really?
That is not the first time that he has raised a hand to her. Yeah. You need to go back and rewatch that. And then there's a second time. Betty with her lines. It's just awesome. Then she goes, and I believe this is where she was seeing pictures of her. And Betty goes, she's not wearing a bra. Yep. And the look Michael gives her. At that point, I want you to go back and watch that.
I'm not watching this again.
I never watched it the first time.
Did you even watch it, Adam?
Of course I did.
Okay.
Dave is the one that literally just said I never watched it the first time, not me.
I did watch it. Yes, I did watch it. No, Jason, that's interesting, though, because if you think about how at the end of the movie, you know, the one woman breaks up with her husband, the sister. You know, calls it off, basically says she's going to stay there for a while because she's not happy in her marriage. The guy goes back after this long night and day spent going through this journal and getting drunk with his sister and everything. And he goes back and has this moment where he's like, you're the only one for me. I've always loved you. I would just want to make you happy. And almost like when you say that, I didn't pick up on that, but thinking about it now, it's almost like an apology. Like, I'm so sorry for how I've been, but it'll be different now, kind of a thing, you know. And
now, and since I know how much you love this movie, Dave, you do need to go back and watch that first scene again. It's like in the first 15 minutes.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I didn't even think about that in that respect. I wasn't watching. I was kind of, to be honest, kind of confused who that was at first because I thought that was the sister at first. I'm like,
well, yeah, I didn't know. I thought it was a third sister or something.
Yeah, like a younger sister, and I wasn't quite sure what was going on or if she was like someone with the estate or
the assistant to the lawyer.
Yeah,
maybe her mom's loaded.
Yeah, that's why I was like, what is this woman? And she wasn't that important
horrible
to the story.
Lines. It was such horrible lines.
Well,
the writing, those ripped straight out of the book because. Whoever wrote this book, it's horrible.
Was this based on a book?
This was based on a book, correct?
I don't know.
I'd read it was.
It is, yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was a novel.
All right. So, hey, another thing I want to point out here is, and I understand this, and I mentioned this also in Stranger Things, just because it seems so out of place in today's day and age.
Wait.
But the amount of...
did not see any space helmets lit from the inside.
No.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh, no, I missed that.
But you know what you did see a lot of? A hell of a lot of smoking and drinking.
Right.
I mean, there was a ton of it in this.
Yep.
And it's just like, why do you have to throw it so much in the face? We understood people smoked.
Yeah, but back
why is it chain smoking constantly?
But back in 95, that's what it was, man.
Well, it was 95 parroting 65.
Right, right. But I mean, even in 95, that was much more in the culture still. You know, every movie you saw, it was on television still. It wasn't banned yet, I don't think, in 95.
No, maybe not even close.
You know, and so that didn't bother me. I mean, I don't think twice about that. It's just part of the scene. Lots of drinking, though, yeah. And the thing that stuck with me, though, was the amount of drinking and then driving. You know, there was a lot of scenes where it was like, let's have a few beers, let's go out here and do this and do that, and then we're just hammered and driving home. And I mean, part of that is that's probably how 60s, you know, 70s even were. I know I hear stories from my dad and uncles when that's what they did. They'd grab a case of beer or, you know, a pint of this or that, and they'd go cruise back roads, you know, driving around drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Different time, obviously. Well, but
people still do that.
Sure, sure. Probably, I don't know if it's, I suppose it's still just as much, but I don't see it as much. But this movie, I know this was not a favorite for you guys, but when we go into this story, as this thing transitions, let's pick it up kind of right where it becomes the Clinton Merrill show. You know, I know, Jason, you said the acting was horrible, just marginally better than an open scene, but the acting with them was still pretty bad, in your opinion.
It seemed like they're making this to be a very passionate, at least that's what they wanted to be, just filled with passion and stuff. But it just seemed like Clint Eastwood was so held back. It was like, I don't know how to explain it.
He
right
didn't
now.
Shoot anybody the whole time. No. He's on camera.
He didn't tell anybody to get off his lawn or anything. I don't understand what's going on.
Well, it was a weird version of Clint Eastwood, though, because he's downright playful. You know, when he has her meet him at that one bridge, and he's down there taking pictures, he's picking flowers and stuff, and then, you know, she throws that line at him like, oh, they're fine, but they're poisonous. You know, and he drops them right away, and he's kind of playing that comedy role a little bit, and then he's out taking pictures, she's wandering around the bridge, and he pops up on the other side and snaps a photo of her like, oh, I gotcha, you know, and very playful, and that's a side of Clint Eastwood you don't see that often.
I thought their acting was fine and dandy. Good. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen Clint Eastwood not do a good job at acting.
Mm-hmm. It was very boring.
The movie was...
Their interactions were very boring, I thought.
Well, this is a different kind of movie than what we typically review and mm-hmm. enjoy watching. You know, it's not... I don't think for any of the three of us it's our main genre.
No,
of
Dave
drama
said
and
it's
romance
better
movies,
than Tusk.
No,
I heard him
not,
say that.
Not better. It's we're approaching Tusk-like levels is what I said.
And this is where you'll see some differences in opinion on the Digital Soup Podcast.
No, I
Dave, tell us what you loved about this movie. That is
I'm not gonna go into plot lines and everything else, because the best thing you can do if you want to watch something a little different, give it a watch. You know, I'd say it's one that you should watch once. You know, I don't regret watching it. I actually enjoyed a lot of it. I enjoyed a lot of this movie because I thought, yes, it's slower paced, but it reminds me of the times when I'll read, you know, like if I'm reading books, just like, you know, fiction books for fun, it's usually going to be like Stephen King or, you know, Terry Brooks, Robert Jordan, fantasy, you know, kinds of things like that. But every now and then I'll read something like a John Steinbeck, you know, Grapes of Wrath or East of Eden, or I'll read classics like that. And this is very much that kind of a story where there's not anything super action, you know, it's not like a big huge deal. This is literally a slice of someone's life and just getting to step into that for a short time and then step back out. Now the thing for me, the story itself I thought was pretty interesting. There were times where it's like, wow, this is all happening in a span of 4 days. It seemed a little fast, you know, where I don't know if it's possible for that kind of passion and feelings to evolve in the span of just 4 days. But I thought it was a very good story of this woman who moved to America with this dream of doing something amazing. She's thinking New York City, you know, at that time, probably San Francisco, these big cities. And instead she's on a farm in Iowa with, you know, a husband and kids who could care less about her anymore. She's at a weird point in her life. And this guy comes in, and I, like you said earlier, Adam, he's likable. I don't think he comes across as sleazy. He's very much like, hey, you know, perfect gentleman, that kind of thing, helping out, but at the same time, kind of like flirting a little bit, but he's more interested in his pictures, you know?
And I have to say, you know, I understand that perspective and I don't necessarily disagree. I just didn't find it, you know what I mean? It's, it was good, but it wasn't enjoyable at the same time. You know what I mean? Like I found the elements to be good, but it was just boring and kind of drawn out and uninteresting to me altogether.
Exactly.
Plus it was based on the premise of adultery.
Right.
You know what I mean? With not that, oh, I'm perfect. But, well, you know, it's like,
here's,
and I get what they're doing with it, and they're telling a story, and I understand that part.
Well, the main message, I think, from it, though, there's one, at the very end of this, there's one kind of summarization when they're deciding.
Stay in school.
Yeah, right. No, when they're deciding if she's going to run away with him or not, bags are packed, they're trying to decide, and she... In a lot of ways, this movie, yes, it's based on an adulterous situation, but I think in a lot of ways, it very much points out kind of the negative aspects of having an affair, and it's kind of a cautionary tale to not do that, because the thing is, she says this line, I'm going to paraphrase it, I don't have it in front of me, but something to the effect of, look, what we have is amazing right now. She's saying this to Clint Eastwood's character. What we have is amazing. If we leave and run away together, everything changes tomorrow for us. What we have now is not what it'll be. You know, the passionate moment that they're sharing is not going to continue. It's all going to change, right? And then if she stays, she's also screwed. They're both screwed. You know, they're both going to wonder what if. They're both going to regret it, everything else, wish they would have ran away together. And that's why she gives, you know, has her ashes thrown over this bridge, because she gives him the last little bit of herself she could, because she walked away from it. But in essence, they're looking at it saying, this is why having the affair and doing all this stuff, there is no upside to it. Because you either stay with who you know, who you're married to, you keep the secret, you hide it, or you tell them and potentially ruin everything anyways, all for nothing, or you run off and do this and you leave your family, which is terrible. It's terrible no matter how you look at it. And so I think that message, you know, I didn't take it as a, we're celebrating this adulterous affair. I took it more as like a cautionary tale, and also a tale a little bit of, you know, you have to fight in your life for the things that you really want. And if you've made a decision to marry someone or do that, you have to fight to make that all that you want it to be. Now, the passion, I really thought Clint Eastwood and Meryl Streep delivered excellent performances in this. Their characters, the writing at times is a little bit iffy, like dialogue-wise. But here's where any scenes they had together, I was totally in. I was loving the dialogue, loving the way their conversations flowed.
Even when they're laying there and just kissing for like 25 minutes.
That's what that's what I want to get to.
Okay, there's only one part in here where I actually laughed, is where she's the sister, the younger sister.
Yeah.
It's like, he's never made love to me like and taken me to freaking Africa or whatever it is.
right.
But that was about it, because I'm with you, Jason, on this one. It was, those scenes were, you know, as much as chemistry as they had, the scenes were drawn out.
Well, and this is what I wanted to get to. They're speaking dialogue driven scenes. Their clothes on, non-physical scenes were fantastic. As soon as there was any kissing, any intimacy involved, it was the most, this is a great example of when you have two legendary actors, actresses, you know, Meryl Streep and Clint Eastwood, even people of their caliber cannot do everything well. And that's where this fell apart to me. Clint Eastwood looked like he had no idea how to kiss a woman. He looked like just a teenage kid.
Dave was like, put me in there, I'll do
it. No. But in Meryl Streep also looked extremely awkward in that role, like she had never.
Yeah, especially that first kiss. Where I mean, what do? I put my mouth near yours?
Yeah, and this that weird scene where the camera was rotating steady in the kitchen,
yep.
And it was like these frantic little like leaning ins and pecking. It was like two birds trying to. It was not sensual. It was not passionate. It was awkward, more awkward than your first teenage kiss. Only the weirdest, grossest part was that it was like watching your grandparents all of a sudden.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. The age difference was one of the things that, you know, because I looked it up. In 1995, when this movie was made, Meryl Streep was 46 and Clint Eastwood was 65.
Right.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yes.
So let me ask you, did she have a body double in this, in that one scene?
Okay, that one scene with the mirror where she had very ample bosoms.
Yeah.
Yes, I did pause it for a second. when I saw that, I'm like, I did not know she was built like that.
That's my same thought, and I don't mean to sound sexist. I told my wife this too, and she's like, of course you'd notice that. And I said,
but we're dudes. Adam's like, what are you guys talking about?
What I told my wife even, I said, look, every single role you've ever seen her in, she's always dressed in something that intentionally does not show off any physical attributes from the neck down. That's just Meryl Streep's character. Whether she's in fashion, like in The Devil Wears Prada, you know, whatever it is, she's got these roles where you never know. I always assumed she was just kind of an average older woman. But that one scene in the mirror is like, wait, what now? Who is that? But then you quickly snap back in a flash to the fact, like, man, watching this is like watching my grandparents make out for the first time. That's how it felt. There was just no chemistry in the physical level.
If you're watching your grandparents, I believe they probably made out prior to that because they made your parents.
Well, the thing is, though, you get my point.
But you don't want to watch it.
No, there was
no. But they must have had experience.
I think my actual. I only have one grandpa living, and he remarried. So a step grandma, I guess. But even that, I would expect more chemistry and more connection from my actual grandparents or my own parents than I would watching these two. These look like two people who just were so incredibly uncomfortable trying to make this passionate affair look real via the physical aspects. I think had they cut that physical stuff out, left it at some gentle touches and leading her to the bedroom or whatever it is, did a little movie magic and cut that stuff out where we didn't see all of that, this movie gets exponentially better at that point.
CGI would have been better.
Now, can I point out something? Since we're talking about something that's kind of creepy and stuff in this, okay, I understand, you know, when you're in love, and I don't know if they were in love here, but okay, so he's in the shower, right?
Yep.
He's showering, and she's, you know, she kind of goes through his stuff a little bit, but then she picks up his clothes and she sniffs it.
Yeah.
Now, is she trying to sniff his scent, or was she like, I got to go wash these?
Well, that I wasn't
sure
either.
I didn't know which way she was going with that.
Oh, she wanted to smell him.
Probably, but I think she probably also went and washed his clothes.
I'm thinking she wanted to smell him, too, because then later, after he had left, she then bathes in the shower. She goes, just hours ago, he was in here naked showering.
Yeah, I'm sitting where his water fell off his body. And
yeah.
It's,
they didn't show the part where she sat on the toilet was like, oh, he was just here too.
And yeah.
taking a huge duker.
he asked me if I wanted a beer again. Now go ahead.
I was going to say, you could tell this is a different time.
Yeah.
Because there was the whole thing with, there was that other woman in town that had cheated on her husband, and she was kind of like a pariah.
Yeah,
then.
She was blackballed.
Everybody was talking about her. Nobody wanted to do anything with her. So when, Clint Eastwood, what's his name? Kirkman?
Robert.
Kincaid. That's what it was. And Kirkman? Meryl Streep, Francesca, when they wanted to get away and go do something, they couldn't do it in town because there'd be talk. So one of them, and I can't remember which one of them said it, they said, I'm going to take you to a place that I know I won't see anybody I know. Or he said, I'm going to take you to a place where... So where's the one place that they know that none of her racist friends will be at? Jazz bar.
Yep.
I promise no one will know you here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that is so blatantly racist right there.
Yet it also looked like the best club in Iowa.
Well, yeah, we would have enjoyed
that.
Great music and stuff, but that is what they were saying. That is what they meant in that dialogue.
But, yeah, you can. Well, Are you talking like 1990s and the way they wrote that to say that?
Well, no, this because was supposed this is to have taken place, 60s. What, yeah. in the 60s? Yeah, yeah. but that's yeah. what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The racist friends, you know, would definitely not come to this place, so we're safe
back
here.
Then, yeah, probably not.
Well, let me talk about the one thing, small detail, that maybe made me a little biased to this story.
Okay. Well, you just love this from start to finish. I know.
I just know. I did.
On his fifth viewing
he's a
today.
Photographer.
Yeah, he's a Nat Geo photographer. And they did, I will say, they did a very, one of the better jobs of portraying an actual photographer that you see in film. He knew how to hold a camera properly. He knew how to advance the film on these old cameras. He looked the part.
So they weren't like, here, Clint Eastwood, take this camera and just randomly press buttons like it's the freaking William Falcon.
Exactly.
Beep, burp, burp, burp. Exactly. Dave?
Yeah.
Pop quiz.
Mm-hmm.
What camera did he use?
I think they were Nikon F2s or...
More like FUs.
And it was a
Nikon FSLR camera.
Just a Nikon F. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
That was the
And it was fitted with an S36 drive.
Yeah, so that's the motor drive. That yep, allows
little,
you,
yep. Trivia or little, you know, fact about the movie for you.
Yep. Oh, I noticed.
I had to look up what he was using because I knew Dave was going to be like, oh, yeah, camera.
Yeah, I noticed that. But there was a line early on when the brother and sister were going through things and she finds the photographs and, you know, kind of the, they first find the letter about it and she tells her brother about, oh, he was a photographer with National Geographic. And I'm trying to find the exact quote, but he says something to the effect of, oh, great, this perverted photographer corrupted her mind or something. One of these perverted photographer types. And I'm like, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, this guy's a Nat Geo photographer, super respected. I mean, that's one of the, even today, still one of those positions that's very coveted. So, I mean,
is
this
that magazine still in publication?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. They don't have.
I haven't needed that since I was a teenager.
They don't have too many.
Jeez.
Jeez. They don't have too many. Too many staff photographers anymore. It's almost all freelance. But yeah, it's still around, definitely. So, oh, here it is. Pardon the language here. This is just a quote from the movie. The brother says, damn him. I knew Mama wouldn't have thought of that herself. It was some damn perverted photographic mind influencing her. When did that bastard die? And so the idea that just because he's a photographer, it was all his fault. He's crazy. Those people are nuts.
Hey, can I drop a little knowledge about this movie on you guys?
Sure.
Yeah.
This was the first movie rated PG-13 that let out the F-bomb.
Really?
There was an F-bomb in there?
Remember right after the next
when Jason
morning,
was watching it. There,
yeah, I heard a few there, but...
No, yeah, she asked about F.
Yeah, the next morning after they slept together, and she was like all weird, you know?
Oh, yeah.
She was like crazy. Oh, we had sex. And she's like, what? And he's like, what's going on? And she says, you want to just F me on the table or something?
Oh, okay, yeah. Because she's like, what's the format here or something, you know? Well, how does this work? You got ladies all over the world. How does this work? I just want to know. Yeah, that's right.
You just share a passionate night with someone, and the next morning she goes all psycho.
Because she's realizing the regret over what she just did.
Probably. I understand. All right, next piece of knowledge I want to drop on you.
Right.
This movie was just a hair close to being Robert Redford and Susan Sarandon.
Hmm.
So what do you think about that?
I would have thought about the same, I think.
Yeah.
I think they probably would have been closer in age.
Susan, I would rather watch Susan Sarandon act than Meryl Streep. I know she's a legend in Hollywood.
Rocky Horror Picture Show, yeah.
Yeah, I don't love her acting. She
that white
always,
bra, remember what I was
not really there.
I have no idea.
But, you didn't see Rocky Horror Picture Show, Adam?
Well, I've seen
it. All right,
a
we'll
lot,
be doing that as a super review.
That'll be
listeners,
a fun
one. Do you want Adam to watch it?
Yeah, I'm down for that. It's a crazy whatever. Movie. But,
oh, yeah.
But I would rather watch Susan Sarandon act than Meryl Streep any day of the week. I can't think of a time when I've seen Meryl Streep, and I know she's like Hollywood royalty, basically, where everyone talks about her, but she's not. I just don't find her as engaging as some of the other actresses of her generation.
And I really can't tell you any other Meryl Streep movies I've ever seen. So my question to you is, was that accent an act, or is that her actual accent?
No, she's
an act. Okay. She was in Devil Wears Prada. What else?
I don't think that was a good flick.
Anne Hathaway carried
that. It's another chick flick, dude.
Mary Poppins Returns.
I never seen it. That's the one that's in the theater now?
Yeah.
She's in
She's been in a ton of movies.
Yeah, she's like a weird cousin.
All right.
Yeah, she's been in a lot of stuff, but not a lot of stuff that I don't think I've seen.
I got two more pieces of information to give you guys, and no, I was not involved in this at all, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Cedar Bridge where Francesca and Robert meet.
Yeah.
Okay, that was destroyed in a fire on September 3rd, 2002.
Whoa.
Mm. Yep. And the residence used by filmmakers for Francesca's house was burned in a fire by arson on October 6, 2003, almost a year after the Cedar Bridge was also destroyed. Yeah. So there's other people out there that hate this movie so much, they got to burn everything that was in the film.
No. I don't know.
No, seriously, that happened.
Oh, I believe you. I believe you. I was just gonna say, let's rate this thing.
Oh, hold on, hold on. Before I gotta point out one more thing here. Yeah. Well, two more things. they're right at the end of the movie here. Did Clint Eastwood not look like a freaking psychopath standing in that rain?
Oh, in the rain, yeah. That was Dirty Harry Clint Eastwood. I was waiting for him to pull out his pistol and say, "You feel lucky, punk." Well,
you feel like staying with your husband, punk.
Oh, I thought he'd come up to the window of the husband and be like, "I'm gonna take
care of
business."
And the second thing, Francesca, when she's, you know, this was right after this scene, and she's pulling away in the pickup truck with her husband. She is full on bawling for at least 3 minutes before the dullard of a husband is like,
What's bothering you there?
What's wrong? And she's just like, I just need a minute.
I mean, I am not the most, you know, sentimental guy in the world,
really?
Unless it comes to retro gaming. no, but I, if you know, if my wife is upset about something, I pick that up right away.
Right.
I mean, he literally was changing channels. He was looking out windows. He's like, "What's up with this guy's not moving?"
Oh, as I bet my wife's, that's that photographer.
and she's pulling on the handle.
I bet you that's that photographer they've been talking about. Yeah.
What a dollard.
Yeah.
Long way from home, that guy.
Yeah. Oh, geez there, you know.
All right, let's rate this bad boy.
You guys go first.
Okay, I'll go first. And, you know, I'm sorry. I watched it. I forced my way through it. And I did it basically for our listeners. You know, I hate the one listener that did recommend this movie. But for our listeners, I actually watched it and I finished it, even though I did rage quit.
Well, hold on. You don't hate the listener. You hate that they recommended this movie.
Oh, no. I full on hate whoever it is. And if I ever find out who it is, I'm going to burn his bridge down.
I know who it is. I'm just not telling you.
But I give this movie a one.
I assumed anything more than a one, I would have been shocked.
All right. I got to give it a two.
What? Where did it get the two from?
Well, three is like average.
This is a one was generous. I'm saying
I'm fine with a one or a two, but I'm gonna give it a two because I thought the acting wasn't as bad as you thought it was.
Two
to me means I didn't like it.
Yes. Okay.
But I've hated other movies more. Don't argue my score.
No,
homie.
But what I'm gonna say is you said the acting is what pulled it up to a two. Short of the two main stars, there are other people in this movie that were horrendous.
That is true. That's why we made a 2 and not a 2.5.
All right, you can have the 2. Okay, I want to see what Mr. Tusk
Boy. Thank you for being so gracious. I found it well below average. Well below average, and I didn't like it. 2.
Nope, didn't like it at all. Not gonna die again.
All right, Dave.
I'm gonna give it a 3.5.
Oh my God, you're so stupid.
No. I'm gonna say this. I thought the storytelling was pretty much fantastic, with the exception of the creepy grandparent making out stuff. That was kind of like if there wouldn't have been those scenes,
what was it like,
not so good. If they would have done some Hollywood magic, trim some of that down, and let it just be dialogue driven and kind of implied, I'd have probably given this a 4. I really thought the story was well done. I didn't care for the kids, like you say. Their acting was kind of iffy until you get towards a later part and end of the movie where I thought it kind of made sense. I thought it had a good message. I thought it was well acted. I thought it was well shot.
Michael, when he was drunk, was creepy as
Yeah,
ass.
I know that. I'm talking about when they...
Very select. It looked like he was going to, you know, mount his sister.
Well, that part wasn't a good message.
But let me ask you this, Dave. Yeah. So you said you thought the movie had a good message, but overall, I mean... The movie is about adultery.
Yep, but I think the message that we learn, like I was talking about earlier, is that
the message is bad. Once you cheat on your spouse, just go back to him. It's okay then.
No, I think what it showed is that it's a great example, cautionary tale for people out there to just not do it.
Okay, thank you for explaining.
That's kind of where I'm coming at it from, because you see how much, like, on a personal human story level, how much, like, you never go back to the way things were. Whether you move forward with the affair, whether you stay with your spouse, it doesn't matter. It F's you up forever, and those are the lives of everyone involved. And I thought this was a great, great story, a great tale of, like, this is why you don't do that.
But Dave, you just shot that in the foot right now.
Why?
This whole affair actually made the daughter stronger and mm-hmm. leave a relationship she didn't like mm-hmm. and turn the brother around, and he really loves his wife and his family now because of the adultery.
Because of the suffering she went through after it, I think that's how I took it. That's how I took that story. Like, she faithfully stayed with her husband the rest of her life after that mistake, which wasn't good. I don't believe in adultery. It's something against my belief system. But after hearing and reading her story that she left for her kids, with the lesson being, you know, look, you deserve to do what makes you happiest. And for the daughter, she got out of a bad marriage. For the son, he kind of changed him and decided to change his ways, it sounded like. But that's because they got to see and hear about all the suffering she went through for the rest of her life after making that mistake. That, to me, that's what I took out of it. And I thought it was really, I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I do enjoy, you know, romantic dramas, rom-coms, all this stuff. I will watch them. I'm not against it.
There is only one rom-com that I ever enjoyed. And yep. I've actually recommended to anybody that had to pick out a rom-com. Like, say your girl's like, let's watch a rom-com. Mm-hmm. Here's one to suggest. When in Rome, the only rom-com I ever enjoyed.
What about The Wedding Singer? It's a rom-com.
Yeah. Okay, Adam Sandler's a little bit different. Yeah, I did enjoy a couple of his 51st Dates. I did enjoy Wedding Singer. But
I will
overall,
watch
I'm
it
not
all.
A rom-com.
I will watch it all.
Dave's a rom-commy.
I enjoyed it.
Sometimes
it's not something
bad.
I watch every day.
I can see, Dave, I will say I can see your perspective, the way you've explained it. I can understand that.
Fair enough.
Doesn't mean I enjoyed it anymore, but I understand what you're saying.
Okay, can I ask?
No, you can't. I'm in charge of this show.
Ask away, man.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, okay, you have two, I'm going to give you two movies, Dave. You're stranded on a desert island.
With no power.
With power from coconuts.
And there's a fire on one end.
Yes. And you can have...
I would tie the dang sheets.
Yeah. You can have either The Bridges of Madison County or Infinity War. Which one would you choose?
Well, those two together, I'd definitely go Infinity War.
Well, duh.
Yeah. I didn't say that this is all I watched. I said this is a movie that I didn't mind it. I mean,
Adam, little homework for you before our next show. Can you please go back and see what movies Dave gave less than 3.5 to? And I want.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yes. Hardcore Henry 2.
Well, remember this.
Well, Hardcore Henry sucked.
No, it didn't. It was full of action. It got your testosterone a pumping.
Got my motion sickness a pumping. Yeah. No, I when, like, let me ask you guys this.
I was doing that during Bridges of Madison County.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this, though. When we're rating these movies, like when you guys think of the rating you're going to give it, are you comparing it to other movies or are you just comparing it to the enjoyment level
of this movie? I have a scale in my head where I put movies. And
yeah, see, I don't have a scale.
That's why the majority of my movies have been average, because A movie really has to be something special.
Yeah, see, I
to ever receive a 5 from me, unlike Tusk for you.
Did I give Tusk a 5?
I think you gave it a perfect. I think you gave it a 5.5.
I'll look it up right now because we need to know.
What I'm saying is, I don't have a scale I work off of. To me, I look at it and I say, all right, 5 being really enjoyable, 1 being I hated every minute of this, where does it fall for me? It's not compared to any other movies. It's not compared to, any of that stuff.
Exactly. And I think that's
you liked it better than Chronicle.
Chronicle was, the flying psychic power ones.
Yes. You sucked.
Yep. And let's see here. You liked it better than Bright.
You totally suck, Dave.
And let's see what let's see what you said about Edge of Tomorrow. We're just giving Dave a hard time. Oh, you liked Edge of Tomorrow better.
Yeah.
Attaboy. You like Tusk better too.
Yeah.
We know that.
So far, I think Tusk is your
4.5 for.
Well,
Dave.
What was the last one we did? Italian Job. That got a 4.5 too. I think. I gave Italian Job a 4.5 at the same time.
Probably.
No, I just, I look at these movies and to me they're their own singular experience. It's not comparing Bright to Bridges of Madison County. It's how much I enjoyed that movie at that particular
and
time.
That's what I said. Adam and I have the same, we don't base them. I know I specifically don't.
You like Italian Job better, Joel, so just so you know.
4.75.
What did you give Italian Job here? I don't think you've given a 7.5, did you?
No, I don't know. I liked it.
4.5.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was going to say. I thought that was the same
you,
as
you like Dread less than Bridges of Madison County. But I think that was because of the...
My stupid frown. I am the law.
Like his super frown and the effect of the...
Yeah.
Okay, and see, here's what I don't agree with here, because Dread. All right. I would definitely watch that again over Bridges of Madison County.
I wouldn't watch either one of them again, probably.
I would watch if I had. Okay, I'm flipping channels. I have 2 channels. Dread and Bridges are on there. I would stay on Dread. Dave would go to Bridges.
Depends on the day.
Dave's favorite movie so far, and mine too, The Prestige. We both gave it 5.
Oh, it was a perfect 5?
You guys get... Okay, I've not given a single movie a perfect 5, I do not believe. Is that correct, Adam?
I'd say that's correct.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've given a movie...
Hardcore
I don't know if you've given
5!
A movie a 4, even.
I think I have. Maybe a 3.5. I don't know.
So, anyways. Enough super reviews. Folks, if you have more suggestions for super reviews, obviously you can tell we had a good heated debate about this one. So keep them coming. We want to force Jason into his discomfort zone.
You did. All right. So, hey, before we go on to anything else here, Adam, I picked the next movie. And I'm going to get us back into geekery. I'm going to get us back into gaming, geekery movies, that type of stuff. I don't like this love stuff like Dave does. So okay. The next movie we're going to watch
Jason hates love, noted.
is the Warcraft movie.
Ah, it might be not as good as Bridges of Madison County.
You shut it right now. I will reach through this mic and throat punch
ready
you.
Ready to serve.
Zug, zug.
That's going to be fun. I kind of wanted to see it. The main actor, I love his work in the Vikings show on History Channel. Yeah.
Hasn't that been canceled, Vikings?
I don't know. I know that they just had a season. I know if either upcoming or
you're
just
having a
finished
season.
Yeah.
What time is it?
It's time for a geek off.
All right. So usually, what do we have here?
Well, we're gonna start a short debate again. I've got a bracket made up.
Don't want no short debate.
We're gonna only have 3 rounds of this debate and we'll settle it. What we wanted to do, Adam and I were talking a little while. I think it was one of the other episodes where we were just the 2 of us on here. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna go back to the Avengers movie, the first Avengers movie from 2012. Okay. And we're gonna have the OG Avengers debate. And what that is
Hawkeye.
Well, and what it is, we're going to go through. It's 8.
Who would win at Knowledge Bowl?
There's 8.
Natasha.
8 matchups randomly, submitted into a bracket. So all the matchups are random. And we're going to debate who the best Avenger was. Now, note, I am not talking about who would win in a fight. I am not talking about who is strongest, who has the most powers. I want to know who you feel the best Avenger from the Avengers movie in 2012. The first time we saw all of these people on the screen together. So
why he's saying that, Adam, is you can't say Spider-Man or Ant-Man. Come on now, buddy.
Exactly.
This is the original.
Yep, the original. And it's also important to keep in mind, do not judge these arguments based on who would win in a fight.
Right.
First up.
Hawkeye.
First matchup. First bracket to go after. We've got War Machine versus Nick Fury.
Oh.
What kind of power does Nick Fury have?
It's not about
have?
The powers. It's about the,
he's got the no, power to intimidate.
About the heroes. He's a leader. He's a strategist.
Somebody get these mother effing superheroes out of my mother.
He's a
Avengers on a plane.
He's a leader and strategist that brings the team together.
Yeah, I mean, without him, you wouldn't really have Avengers, right?
Right.
Well, Rhodey is cool and all and has some of his own lower key adventures. I think I'd give that one to Nick Fury.
You know what? I'm going to have to agree with Adam. He's a cooler character, too.
Agreement.
I agree. I think Nick Fury is more vital to the Avengers than Rhodey as War Machine.
And we are going to get the most Nick Fury we have ever seen in Captain Marvel, which is going to be
awesome. I hear he's got a full-on, like, behind nude scene. It's bizarre. Oh,
okay, anyways. Well, he's pretty old now, so I'm sure there's a stunt
butt. They de-aged him.
Yeah, they didn't de-age his butt.
How do you know? If
they can give him his eye back. Why not take a few wrinkles off the old crack smackle? Anyways,
gross.
Next matchup, and this is one that we could probably have people debating for years on who would win in a fight, which is this matchup is the reason I said there is not based on who would win in a fight. So we have Thor versus the Incredible Hulk.
It's pretty simple. You're going to have to go with Thor because Thor is a better strategist than the Hulk. The Hulk just smashes.
Mm.
The team, yes, he's the tank in an RPG. I understand that. He can take all the damage. He can deal all the damage. Doesn't really need a healer, which...
Hulk also gives you the brains of Banner.
He's Hulk. You didn't say David Banner. You said the Hulk.
Well,
he's dumb as
David
a rock.
Banner wasn't even in it.
Yeah, so. David Banner was the Lou Ferrigno.
TV what, whatever.
Bruce.
What is his name?
Bruce Banner.
There we
you
go.
Can't have the Hulk and Bruce Banner as two separate characters, though. They're the same person.
No, you
David Banner
to.
Was like a rapper.
Was he? But I think Thor is a better strategist. He is also...
Yeah.
He is also, you know, the next, king of Asgard.
Let me throw you this. Which one is more fun to watch in battle, though?
Mm.
Hulk, to me, is, I don't know why.
Okay, in the first Avengers, the Hulk, it was awesome seeing him punch those spaceships and taking them down.
Exactly. Arguably, the Hulk won that whole battle for them.
Yeah.
And is what allowed Iron Man to do what he did.
Now, I know this isn't this movie. But remember when they were on the Rainbow Bridge, whatever you call that, Dave, you know all the...
Yeah, the Bifrost.
And their fight, the Bifrost, and I believe, what was it, the second one?
The second one.
Where his sister, he was battling his sister,
who,
that movie.
Who was? Thor?
Thor.
That was Ragnarok.
Okay, Ragnarok. I did love the battle scene where he's coming down in all his lightning power, mm-hmm. and it's a...
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Is that the Immigrant Song? Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Yes.
What did I just do?
What did you do?
Oh, I accidentally clicked on a tab and I shut the show notes. I thought I shut Cass.
No, Cass is still here.
So who do you think,
after
Adam?
All that, I will still actually say Thor.
Yeah?
I would agree.
So we both agree on Thor. Yep.
I'm so torn on this one.
Well, it's already lost by...
Yeah, it has to be. Yep, two to one. So it's Thor. I mean, I could see an argument being made either way.
I'm going to go with Willy Wonka.
I think
Hulk did rule in that movie.
Well, I think that's the big thing with the Hulk. That's kind of like you say, it won't matter now. We're taking Thor as our decision.
Puny God.
But I think that's the thing though, is that Hulk, as awesome as he is, and he really saves the day at times, he is also pure destruction on the good guys as well. So that is potentially, you know, tricky. So next matchup, Captain America versus Black Widow.
Captain America. He's the leader. He's the commander. He's patriotic, and he's not afraid of anything.
He's the heart of that team.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I agree everything what Adam just said. And I'm trying to think of points to where we could, say Natasha's better.
He is less attractive than Natasha.
Natasha looks better in a black tight suit. Yes.
In future movies, he gets that beard, you know. Just saying. No. But no, when you think about it in terms of the first Avengers movie, I have to say, hands down, it's got to be Captain America, because Black Widow was there, but she...
Cap, as David
Cap
said.
Has got to take it, because Black Widow just... She's there, and she's kind of Nick Fury's assistant for the most part in this movie. I mean, she is not what she becomes in later films. She is the Black Widow. She fights, she participates, she has some very cool fights and everything else. But when you remember this movie, she doesn't do as much as she will eventually.
And she has a solo movie that's supposed to be in the works too, so that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Get some backstory on Natasha Romanoff. Right.
So last matchup for this round, we've got Iron Man and Hawkeye.
Don't even say it.
I should have.
Iron Man all the way, because he's just as, what's his name?
Hawkeye, Clint Barton. Oh, Tony Stark.
No, Tony Stark. Just as Tony Stark, he's hilarious.
Right.
The way he plays Tony Stark, it's awesome. And then the suits. Oh my gosh, the suits. I've fantasized so many times of having one of those suits. Shut it, Eve. Especially the one that comes all the pieces fly at you and it builds you up.
That's not this movie.
No, so, I know, but I love that suit.
I have to agree with Iron Man on this. He's if anyone was the co-leader here, in the first movie, because Thor wasn't quite there. Mm-hmm. Thor showed up and he's like, "You're all puny, and I'm doing my own thing." But Iron Man steps it up, threatens Loki to his face, and then ends up flying up into space to sacrifice himself for that, getting that nuke out of there. I mean, that's some pretty bold moves, Cotton. We'll see how it works out for him. I'm going to definitely give it to Iron Man.
I mean, Hawkeye's cool. He does some pretty cool... That's probably some of the... Well, later movies, he does do... He has quite a bit of action with different stuff, but...
Hawkeye is great at county fairs. He always comes away with that first prize in the archery
Remind
contest.
Me, am I correct in thinking, or was it the second Avengers movie? Was it in Ultron when Hawkeye is a bad guy for a stretch of time? That was the first
one.
That was this one, because Loki had his Loki pokey stick.
Yeah, because Loki touched his chest
and
with
so,
his stick.
So that alone is points. Yeah, he
he did.
Yeah, with the Tesseract, one of the Infinity Stones, we eventually find out.
I know why you laugh, because it said touched his chest with his stick. I get it now. Well, Adam, you perv.
When I threw this,
I just pictured him poking him with a literal stick,
like a twig.
It was funny to me.
when I put this in,
he cut himself a switch.
when I put these in, like I said,
come over here, Hawkeye, you've been bad.
This was all random.
Adam,
why did you talk like that?
This was all random generated. And when I saw these last two matchups, Captain America and Black Widow, Iron Man and Hawkeye, I really, in some ways, wished it would have been Captain America versus Iron Man and Black Widow versus Hawkeye, just to give one of them a chance to move on. But at the same time, much like Thor and Hulk, at the same time, though, I mean, it doesn't matter. Whoever moved on was going to face either Captain America, Iron Man, and be booted anyways. So it didn't matter.
Booted.
So the next round, we've got Nick Fury facing off against Thor and Captain America facing off against Iron Man to determine our final two. We're not debating those today. Stick around next week. And I'm going to get this. This will come out, what is it, Friday? So starting on Monday, what is that, March? What is the date going to be? March 4th.
Like
I will
March
start 4th. Monday, March 4th. We will start the OG Avengers debate.
Twitter poll.
Yep, daily Twitter poll. We're going to go through these first four matchups, and that'll bring you to Friday's episode. So,
nice. Well done, lads.
Yeah.
And I think it's time to put the lid on the soup. So, listeners, stick around. We've got a great track today. It's called Smoking with Angels, and it's by The Clays, which is a four-piece rock band from the Stoke-on-Trent in Staffordshire, England. They formed sometime in 2013, but the music of the band started well before that. Longtime friends Adam and Mark began collaborating on songwriting many years ago. Sitting down with acoustic guitars, Adam quickly took up the mantle of lead vocals and lead guitar, while Mark supplied backing and rhythm. They work hard on perfecting the melodies and harmonies before deciding that they needed to take it to the next level. So we're going to have a link to their Facebook page in our show notes. And for all things Digital Soup, DigitalSoupPodcast.com is a site for you. Hit us up on social media, Twitter, Facebook, etc. Anywhere where you listen to podcasts, you can subscribe. Be sure to tell a friend about us and leave a good review if you can be so kind. So from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, all of you listeners out there, have an awesome week. Stay true to yourselves. Go take some pictures in bridges of Madison County. I'm just kidding. Have an awesome week, though, and we'll catch you next
time. Take care, guys.
And doggies will be doing their business all over her.
Ooh.
Gators.
It was my only friend. It passes the time, helps me to forget broken up feelings to mend. Broken up meetings again. I'll draw the line and I won't forget, even if all that depends. I saw the outline of your silhouette. I knew that this could be the end. I looked in the face of my maker, asking for my last request. I said I wanted the roses and a light for my cigarette. No, don't go down without a fight. Don't go down into the light. Wait for the day of redemption. Make sure that I fought the good fight. The pain was enough, not to mention the fact of the cost of a life. In the face of my maker, and he told me to hold in my breath. But I just kept kicking and breathing until there was nothing left. No, don't go down without a fight. Don't go down into the light. Assuming the debt will be settled and paid, the battle was over and done. I heard the sound of the sweet serenade, and I felt the heat from the sun. I looked in the eyes of my maker, and he told me to follow the light. I'll follow the path to the next life, and then I'll be smoking with angels tonight. Oh, don't.